This is Bob Enyart inviting you to our second Friday meeting on June 8th to hear scientists from the Creation Research Society speak at our Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meeting, Friday, June 8th at 7 p.m. And if you'd like a visiting scientist to speak at your church on Sunday, June 10th, please contact the Creation Research Society. For more about our Friday night, June 8th meeting, which is at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church at Wadsworth and 21st, please just go to kgov.com, that's kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. If you've been listening to this program anytime over the last 21 years, we air on Colorado's most powerful radio station, AM 670 KLTT, and we have long been fans of the American Family Association, Don Wildman, especially over the last couple of years, the leadership they showed in Mississippi with the personhood fight to protect every unborn child and uphold his God-given right to life. So they're heroes down there at the AFA, but there is an issue now that we take issue with their director of issue analysis. So we want to welcome to the program Brian Fisher. Brian, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining me. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney, but first, how is Tim Wildman? It's been a while since he's been on the show, and how's Don Wildman?
Well, Tim is great, doing a great job taking over for his dad. His dad handed the baton. Tim is just doing a great job stepping into the shoes of his dad, who did a great job founding and directing this organization. Don still shows up to work just about every day, so he's still keeping his hand in. He doesn't run the day-to-day stuff, but he still maintains contacts with a lot of pro-family leaders all around the country and still being a force for good.
And you've been there since 2009, so you were there during the personhood battle. Thank you for the leadership you guys showed during that fight and continue to show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a disappointment, the result on that. And you know what happened is Planned Parenthood came into Mississippi with millions and millions of dollars, a late blitz, and they just told some flat-out lies about what the personhood amendment would do and not do, and they got enough people to believe those lies that the amendment did not pass. So that was a disappointment.
Yeah. You know, it's a failure if we give up. If not, these are stepping stones. You know, the homosexuals, they want homosexual marriage, and they've lost, if my count is right now, 36 statewide votes in a row they've lost. But they don't give up. They keep pressing on to their goal. And people have the sense, actually, that they're making progress, even though our side has won 36 times in a row. So the Lord was right when he talked about persistence and people not giving up, and we're fighting to protect unborn children. So eventually, the Lord wins, and we will win the fight eventually.
Well, I agree with that. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that one word of truth outweighs the whole world. And so we believe that we are on the side of truth because we're taking our position from the teaching of the Word of God. We can plant our feet there and know that in the end, because it's in alignment with the truth, nothing else is going to work in the end, and our view ultimately is going to prevail, and we just need to persevere until that happens.
Brian Fisher, years ago, thanks to the leadership of Randall Terry and so many other Christians, pro-lifers, I was involved in the rescue movement back in the 80s and ended up doing a little bit of time, a full-time jail ministry. And during that time, I was able to read Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. Not much else to do, you know, when you're in jail other than Bible studies and witness to people. And Solzhenitsyn was a hero fighting against injustice. And we have these people that we could take courage from. It's not only the Lord who fought this battle, but it's other folks, common folks, who rose up because of their courage and their commitment. So, hey, you are the director of issue analysis for government and public policy, and you and I have come to very opposite conclusions regarding Mitt Romney, what to do about him. So would you perhaps take the lead and explain why you think Christians should vote for him? And then I'm hoping we could talk through the issue.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not saying, Bob, and I've never endorsed Mitt Romney. I've never explicitly told Christians they need to vote for Mitt Romney, because I think, Bob, you and I probably share some serious reservations about Mitt Romney. You know, you look at his rhetoric, and sometimes he sounds fine. You match it up with his record, and there's just no correlation between what he did as the governor of Massachusetts and what he says he will do.
Yeah, right. Since his pro-life conversion, he has done so many aggressively pro-abortion things, just blowing our minds. But I wouldn't call it reservation. That'd be like saying, Bob, do you have reservations about the devil? I'd say, no, I don't have any reservations. Yeah. But go ahead. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, the bottom line for me is I talk frequently with callers on my program about this lesser of two evils analogy. And I had a conversation with somebody about that today on my program. And look, I understand that analogy completely. We are faced with a choice of the lesser of two evils. Neither one of these candidates is ideal. Neither one fits the profile that we'd like to see in a candidate.
Sure.
So we are faced with the choice of a lesser of two evils. And it ultimately boils down to me, is some Christians are going to say, look, a vote for the lesser of two evils is a vote for evil. I'm not going to do it. I understand that. I appreciate that. I respect that. I would never try to talk anybody out of that point of view. There are others, and this is the camp that I fall into. If the choice is between the lesser of two evils, then Christians ought to prefer less evil.
What if the case
between more evil and less evil, you vote for less evil?
Brian, what if the case could be made that Barack Obama is the lesser of two evils? Because as we talk through this, I think that, you know, you might be open to some of the arguments that I could present. And certainly many people in our audience, many, many, many. We've been on for 21 years, most powerful station in Colorado, most powerful Christian station in the country. We have listeners all over this country because for years I was on in 80 cities on TV, 5 nights a week for an hour. Probably over 100,000 Christians tune in to this program on a monthly basis. And many, 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 many of those have been convinced that Barack Obama is the lesser of two evils. So would you say that if they are convinced that Obama is the lesser of two evils, that our audience should vote for Barack Obama?
How do they come to the conclusion that he is the lesser of two evils?
Well, we could talk through that, but could you first give me your opinion on that? If he is, if I could convince you that he is, will you vote for Barack Obama?
No, there isn't any way I could vote for Barack
Obama. Well, what if he's the lesser of two evils?
I assume what you're saying is people are going to make that judgment, and some people are going to come down on a different side of that issue than I am. If that's what their conscience directs them to do, they're convinced that's true, I wouldn't want to try to talk them out of it because they answer to God for their vote, not to me. And that's not how I size things up. I think
Brian,
he is the greater of two evils, and so that's the way
I
have to vote in line with
what my conscience tells me. So let's look at that, but I would strongly urge them not to do what their conscience is telling them to do. The Bible warns us explicitly how angry God got when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I mean, the Nazis, Osama bin Laden, Jeffrey Dahmer, these people did what they thought was right, and God gets angry. So when someone says, well, my conscience is telling me to support homosexual marriage or give money to Planned Parenthood, I plead with them that you have an obligation to know what is right and do that, not to do what you think is right. God, in the Bible, comes out strongly against people doing what they think is right.
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of Romans 14,
yeah,
where Paul says when it comes to these issues where you don't have a direct word from God about who to vote for, then each one needs to be convinced in his own mind. But Paul says this is something that you have to work out before God. Each individual has to hash this out before God.
Yeah, that,
I'm not saying everybody should do what's right in their own eyes. I'm saying that every Christian needs to go before God and do the best they can to discern what God's will is for them and then do that thing.
And, Brian, there in Romans, we have verse-by-verse study through that whole section where Paul says Jesus became the servant of the circumcision and he became the servant of the uncircumcision, talking about Israel and the body. The circumcision kept the Sabbath. Those of the uncircumcision, the body of Christ, they worship every day alike. So Paul was talking about that theological issue. He wasn't saying, if you're in Germany, in a district where it's the Marxists and the Nazis, and you think in your conscience, you're not sure, but you think Adolf Hitler will kill fewer people than Stalin and the Marxist Party, well, then vote for Hitler. That would be a perverse application of Romans 14. Romans 14 is a theological issue describing Christ as the minister to the circumcision versus to the uncircumcision. I think it would be so terrible to present that as a justification for moral relativism that it'd be okay to vote for Adolf Hitler if you're in Germany, if you think he's the lesser of two evils.
Well, and again, that's not a precise parallel. We're not dealing with the same kind of situation here. The question is, how do you make your vote count? What's the best thing you can do with your vote on behalf of righteousness, on behalf of truth, on behalf of what is good? Now, some people are going to decide, look, I can't vote for either one of these guys. They both would represent something that I think is harmful for America, so I'm going to vote for a third-party guy. I understand that. I appreciate that. You know, the way I look at the landscape right now is we have got to do something about the leadership that we have right now in the White House. If we have another 4 years of the kind of leadership we've had from this president, there may be nothing left of America to save by 2016.
Sometimes
when you can't vote for somebody, sometimes you may have to vote against somebody.
Brian, I think that the body of Christ in America, as we've been observing churches, congregations, families, I think we have millions of people in Bible-believing churches in America that no longer know right from wrong. They just don't know it. They don't know that homosexuality is wrong. They think there's all kinds of cases when abortion is okay. They sort of like Barack Obama. The positions on homosexuality by some of our national ministries have been steadily sliding and changing. We've documented this on the air. So when we have Christian leaders saying, well, here's a guy who supports killing a certain number of innocent children. Here's a guy who implemented homosexual marriage. He implemented tax-funded abortion on demand, surgical, late-term, the whole thing. He forced Catholic hospitals to distribute the abortion pill. He has done everything that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have dreamed to do. He's already done, and he's done this after he lied to us and said that he became a pro-lifer. And he lied to us and said that so he could get Christian leaders to defend him. And I think it's so tragic when you have a wolf in sheep's clothing and the Christian leaders are saying, well, look past that. Look past what? Brian, have you looked at his record when he instituted homosexual marriage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I've said this frequently on my program that Mitt Romney is the godfather of same-sex marriage in the United States. He imposed same-sex marriage on the state of Massachusetts and the United States by executive fiat. He had no constitutional, legal, or ethical authority to do what he did. He ordered clerks to issue same-sex marriage licenses in contravention of state law. The state law is very clear. I went back and read through the whole domestic section in Massachusetts code. And
well, good,
clerks
good
are
for
prohibited
you.
From issuing marriage licenses except in accordance with the laws of the Commonwealth and same-sex marriage. Those laws have never been changed. Same-sex marriage is still against the law in Massachusetts, and yet Governor Romney ordered them to issue licenses and commit a criminal act in the process or get fired.
Yeah, and good for you for doing that. He did this as a fulfillment to one of a number of promises he's made to homosexual activist groups. He's defended in it by Ann Coulter, who's now on the board of a homosexual activist group. And the Goodrich decision, I don't know if you read that. That's the decision that he said forced him to implement. Well, I've read the decision. You could read it in 15 minutes. It never once mentions the governor, never once. He's not a party, right? He's not a party in the case. The Massachusetts state constitution, it's amazing that their founders were so brilliant when they said the courts cannot make law about marriage. Only the legislature and the executive. The court was actually trying to restrain itself. It wasn't being an activist court. So the court said, here's our opinion. We think it should be legal. We give the legislature 180 days. I have the ruling right in front of me. We give the legislature 180 days to consider this matter. So 179 days later, Mitt Romney illegally, unconstitutionally, perversely instituted homosexual marriage. He did that because he wants homosexuals and liberals to support his lust for political power. So he lies to us, but he helps them. And
and I agree with everything you're saying, Bob. I agree right down the line. I've said exactly the same thing many times on my own program. You know, the Supreme Judicial Council there in Massachusetts, their Supreme Court, they didn't change the law. They said, look, it's unconstitutional, but we can't change the law. We can't write
right.
law. That's the job
right.
of the General Assembly. So you guys have 180 days to write a new law. They never did. And so Governor Romney had no authority to do what he did of any kind.
Yeah. What we have is Romney, who wants to be a Republican president, turning restrained courts into activist courts. He's pretending as though these liberal, aggressive, anti-marriage courts, as though they were activist judges and they ordered this. And he's lying. He lies to Christian groups when he speaks to them. His campaign lies. They say that he was forced to do this. He was compelled. I mean, it's all a complete lie.
But right, I agree.
Can we go to the next topic of Romney authorizing tax-funded abortion on demand, late-term, surgical, everything? I mean, it's Hillary and Barack Obama's dream abortion bill. And again, he lied, and he turned restrained judges into activist judges, saying he had no choice. That was a lie. You're familiar with how he implemented RomneyCare, right? And that RomneyCare was a model for Obamacare?
Oh, absolutely. The blueprint for it. In fact, President Obama paid one of the architects from MIT $368,000 to come to the White House to make sure that Obamacare was a duplicate of RomneyCare. It's just Obamacare is just RomneyCare with extra zeros.
And the outrage of a lot of conservative Christians and pro-lifers are, one, the individual mandate, which Romney had. Two, tax-funded abortion, which RomneyCare, I think I'm one of the experts on this topic in the whole nation. I went through, I read the law, I know about the committee that Romney put together, 10 seats on the committee, the Connector Committee, to decide what medical procedures would be covered by tax dollars. He put Planned Parenthood on that committee. He gave them a permanent seat. He lined.
Yeah, and what's significant there, too, is this was, as you pointed out, Bob, this was after his so-called pro-life conversion.
Yeah.
And after that, he had $50 copay abortions, cheapest abortions in America, thanks to Governor Romney and RomneyCare, and his permanent seat for Planned Parenthood on this advisory board.
Right.
And no seat on that board for anybody from the pro-life community.
Right, absolutely not. Exactly, Brian. You know the topics well. So eventually, we're going to get back to the morality of it. Mitt Romney controlled 7 out of the 10 seats on that committee. They funded late-term abortion on demand, all abortion, from the first day of RomneyCare. He's lying to Christians. He's saying, first of all, a 20-year-old court decision forced his hand. Now, that's another case where he's inventing activist judges, because that decision, which I also read, said if the government is going to fund health care, they have to provide abortion for rape and incest and life of the mother. So Romney takes that, what we could call a restrained ruling, turns it into an activist court on steroids, and says all abortion, late-term, surgical, on-demand, we're going to fund it 100%, or depending on your income, or $50 copays. And he's been lying to Christians from day one, Brian Fisher, lying through his whole presidential campaign, saying he had no choice, it had nothing to do with him, it was the courts, it was this connector that was his. After he became a pro-lifer, he's done more to kill children with tax dollars than Hillary or Barack Obama have dreamed of doing. He's already done more.
Well, and he's come out and said, look, with IVF embryos, if parents don't want them, they can destroy them. I mean, he just said this a week or two ago. You know, again, this is after he supposedly had this magical conversion on embryonic stem cell research. Can't destroy embryos for the purpose of research. Well, that's what an IVF embryo is. It's an embryo. And now he's saying it's okay to destroy them, throw them away, cut them up, use them for research, get rid of them, whatever you want to do. So,
yeah.
Again, you see that the conversion was very shallow and, meaningless and just out of political convenience rather than conviction.
Yeah, and he even lied about that. It was a Harvard stem cell researcher, Douglas Melton, who Romney said publicly he was talking to the stem cell scientist, and he realized they talked about the sanctity of life. And that's when he had his conversion. And Doug Melton has come publicly and said, that's not true. We didn't have any such conversation. I mean, Romney lies about everything when it comes to claiming to be Christian, pro-family, pro-marriage, pro-life. So with this conversion, you're right what he said about killing IVF kids. How about 1 week ago today? Do you remember what he did in Florida, in Miami, 1 week ago today at the home of Phil Frost? Do you recall the story? You might have missed it.
I'm not sure.
It's in the Christian Science Monitor and elsewhere. He had a fundraiser, $50,000.
Oh, yeah, at the home of the guy that produces the...
The morning after pill, the abortion pill, Plan B.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so pro-lifers think, well, we're going to hold our nose and support him because we hope he's going to care about us once he gets in office. And Dr. Dobson said when he stepped down, he said, the Republican Party treats us as a mistress. They take us out on Friday night, Saturday night. They get money from us. They get votes. We lobby for their judicial nominees. And then when it comes to Sunday morning, they act like they don't know us. And we've been doing this for 30 years, Brian. And if we're going to continue doing it, there's no longer any excuse whatsoever for Christians to support a child killer who's aggressively pro-homosexual. Brian, you cannot say, I didn't know this about him.
I know. I agree with everything you said, Bob, right down the line. 100%. You're right on the money. It's all stuff I've said on my program. I said it repeatedly. I've written about it in columns.
Well, he's worse than Barack Obama.
I did what I could. You know, the time for this information to get out was during the primary when Republican voters are making their decisions. So I did everything in my power to get this information out.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
To get the truth out about Mitt Romney so that Republican voters, you know, could make an intelligent choice, and they did not make an intelligent choice.
Well, Brian Fisher,
very flawed nominee.
During the primaries, I produced a TV ad. It ran in the early primary states, Iowa, South Carolina, Florida, the Romney fairy tale. You can see it on YouTube. You can see it at prolifeprofiles.com. And it shows, in Romney's own words, video, in his own words, in 1994, he was pro-choice.
Right.
In 2001, he was pro-life. In 2002, he was pro-choice. In 2004, he's pro-life. In 2005, he's pro-choice. I'm not making this up. You see him saying it. In 2006, he's pro-life. And then he funded abortion through Romney Care.
Right.
So he is a liar. And if we keep going, you might be convinced that Barack Obama is the lesser of two evils. And what I pray, Brian, is you'll reevaluate the moral foundation of this issue, because if we talk a little bit more and you think Romney is worse, you're going to be campaigning for Obama. That's not what we do to decide if we could support a candidate. God doesn't ask us to forecast the future, make 1,000 political predictions, and figure out who's worse, this guy or that guy. What God asks us to do is to obey him. When somebody admits to us that he supports killing innocent children, if it was one of your, you have two grown children, right?
Right.
Well, forget about the millions that Mitt Romney supports killing. Forget about them, because Jesus said, love your neighbor. What if Mitt Romney said, you know, I only support killing one, but it was one of yours. Would you support him, Brian?
Well, of course not.
Well, then love your neighbor as yourself. If we were in Germany and there was a candidate who only advocated killing 100,000 Jews a year, and we have Christian leaders saying we need to support him because he's not as bad as the National Socialist, we feel like here in Colorado, where the personhood movement, it seems like God has birthed the personhood movement, it's now all over the country. They just filed 2 days ago in Europe to get 1 million signatures to force the EU for a vote, and the Vatican has come out in support of the EU personhood petition drive. This has all happened since 2007, and it's all over the world now. There was a conference in Portugal 3 weeks ago with a dozen countries, a personhood conference, and we feel like our Christian leaders everywhere have compromised on every issue so that young Christians they flirt with voting for Obama because what does it matter? Why not vote for Obama when the Republican is a pro-homosexual child killer? And then all of a sudden, they don't know if homosexuality is right or wrong.
Well, I'm not arguing with a single thing you're saying. We're agreeing. We're in agreement on everything that you said about Romney. I agree with it.
Could we talk about one last topical issue? Barack Obama telling Catholics and Protestants, Christian groups, that they have to provide health care for their employees that would cover the Plan B morning after pill. And the outrage, appropriately, rightly so, that just throughout the entire pro-life community, outrage. And Mitt Romney has already done it only worse against the counsel of his own state health department. Mitt Romney ordered Catholic hospitals not to buy insurance, but to actually distribute, to administer the abortion pill that he's at a fundraiser of the abortion pill manufacturer last week. He ordered them to do abortions. He ordered them basically to do chemical abortions. He's done so much worse. On every issue, he's worse. He got the federal government to up their Medicaid and Medicare funding for Romney Care so that the whole country is paying through the nose for Mitt Romney's socialist government health care reform with the individual mandate. And once that ends, Massachusetts, their economy and their health care premiums are going to totally skyrocket.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the question, Bob, for you is what is your solution?
My solution is to figure out how do you honor God, obey God.
And what would that mean? I mean, what would that mean
what
for
that
you
means
in terms of voting for somebody in November? Who are you going to vote for?
In this election, like Jesus was asked, is it A or B? And he would say C. They would say, well, who is it, this man or his parents? And Jesus would say, neither. A wise man is not manipulated by his circumstances. So if somebody says, well, who are we going to kill, your son or your daughter? You say, I'm not going to participate willfully in saying who we're going to kill. So if somebody says, I support killing one child, I say, I oppose you. And Mitt Romney is...
But Bob, again, the question gets down. People are going to have to make a decision November 6th. Who are you going to vote for?
I will not vote for someone who's a child killer. So if there was no option, if I couldn't write in anybody, I wouldn't vote for president. I'd vote for a godly Senate candidate. But there is... I'm going to vote here in Colorado. I'm going to vote for the America's Party because Christians in Colorado made sure that there would be someone on the ballot who doesn't kill kids.
Right. Well, and again, I would never want to talk you out of that, Bob. I wouldn't want to talk anybody else out of that.
Well, I want to talk you, Brian Fisher, out of supporting a child killer.
Well, I'm voting against Barack Obama. That's what I'm doing, Bob.
You're voting for a child killer.
I'm voting against Barack Obama. That's what I'm doing.
By supporting a child killer. Brian.
Voting against Barack Obama.
I do want to thank you for your time. It's very
difficult. Welcome, Bob.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Hey, please pray for the American Family Association, Brian Fisher. We love those guys. Every 4 years, we have the same battle with our Christian leaders. May God bless you.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society, but it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.